Camp Anderson is a religious camp of sorts. It is staffed by non-denominational types carrying crosses and clean thoughts, with earnest concerns for souls in jeopardy, or so they say, my father says. There will be prayers before we have dinner, prayers before we hike, prayers before we swim, prayers before we play football, before we sleep, before we use the camp toilets. We ninth grade boys think. And of course, the Mill Valley girls will all be there too, assigned Camp B barracks. It is now the last few summer days of August, and the parents of Mill Valley are letting us kids have the run of Camp Anderson for a whole week. We are no longer watched with the same grim care of the passing summer. 6 weeks ago or so, the first mutilated body was found at Crazy Bill's auto shop in the rear of the shop's parking lot. It was not Crazy Bill. Bill is not crazy enough to work late, the way his employees sometimes do. The Mill Valley Herald printed a few gory photos of the remains of George Otley, the shop's fender man, whose throat was chewed up by some sort of animal, according to the newspaper. When it happened again, twice, once at an all-night service station on the highway that passes by the town, and again on the Mill Valley Elementary School playground at dusk, the town locked up as kids and armed volunteers patrolled the streets at night looking for whatever was doing horrible things to its citizens. Some old folks in town mumbled about similar types of murders years ago in the valley and predicted nobody would be caught because what was responsible was not exactly human. Of course, the police here in town are not going to listen to any wild rumors about ghouls or any of the gossip about ancient creatures and beer talk of the two oldest men in town who have nothing better to do than sit around in the taverns and shoot off their mouths to anybody who will buy them an oldie. Still, nobody, no animal, no thing is shot sneaking around any of the buildings downtown or prowling around any of the local farmhouses or barns. And when suddenly the words, "It's not over," they say, "It's not over yet." "Christ," Ron breathed. Arnella's skin tingled. "What?" she said. Then Ron barked, "Cut the engine," and the sound of the sea rose in her ears with the ebb of the engine noise. A slight thump against the hull shocked her. The sound came again, a catching thud, repeated underwater. Something's caught in her bow rigging, Arnella thought. Her imagination fleetingly knew what a man's body might look like, tangled in the guide bars and roping below the bowsprit. Something rose hotly in her throat, and she swallowed it again. "Oh, Ron!" Ron positioned himself at the bow, fussing with a lamp. "Tie her down and bring me the gaff, Arnie." Arnella looped the two ropes over the wheel handles and went forward with the long pole. Ron gave her the lamp, motioning where to point the tubular shaft of light. It fell onto the sea wash, rising and falling against the hull, and she could see the bulk of something dark, evil-smelling, like rotten sea life enmeshed in the ship's bowsprit. The man's arms were tangled in the ropes. He wore a heavy black coat, like a merchant seaman's, rotted against his flesh. He was bloated, whitened, and slimy, disgusting.